Hey there, it's Weed Week, the dangers and health benefits explored on Mix 94.5, where we're having these incredible chats to learn a little bit more about medicinal cannabis. You can check it out via the listener app. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for elite pool covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
Now I get it, guys. If you've got a front lawn, you like to protect the front lawn and you don't like people parking their cars on it. Right, generally because they break your sprinklers, the you know, can get a bit boggy, a bit
this
marshy.
This literally happened to me just the other day.
Did it?
This is a nature strip, right? Not the
it's the front lawn vergy bit.
Yeah, right.
I mean, anything from the curb to the letterbox, you know, is that sort of section.
Oh, I had a friend of mine who parked on our lawn and I could see the line of her tyres and knew exactly that she'd run over one of my sprinklers.
Oh, really?
She rocked up to the front door and I was like, oh, God.
And it's frustrating.
Turn around.
It's so frustrating.
And I understand it because, you know, you don't want to have to take care of it and keep going out there and tending to it and stuff like that. And I drove past yesterday. There's like a medical center, right, on the corner. And the medical center is very limited parking and it's quite annoying. It's like a one-way car park. So once you get in and you realize there's no bays, you're sort of stuck.
Oh, yes.
And someone had obviously gone, I'll just park outside the front of this person's house right next door to the surgery.
Yep.
And that'll be fine. Except that person has obviously had this problem quite a bit. And so their garbage bins, their council big bins, stay out the front all the time. And they've been spray painted on every side of the bin with a big no parking, a P with a cross through it. And it says no parking. It's been spray painted on every side of these two bins and they're out on the lawn.
Now, my understanding is that you've got no right to do that, right? Like the verge is like common land.
I don't know, I guess.
I don't know either.
I mean, see signs in particular where they say you can't park on the verge, sure. But, like, I don't know if it means that it's illegal or that it's, I mean, it is council property, I suppose. Mm. But we have to look after it. So I get that, I don't know. This person obviously hates it. Anyway, someone's parked their car there. When that person's come back to their car, they're going to see what I saw yesterday, which was a massive green garbage bin on the roof of their car.
Wow.
The neighbour has cracked it so much that they've picked up the no parking bin and dumped it on the top of their Subaru.
I know what I would do with that bin.
Well, the thing is, if I came back to my car and saw a garbage bin on it, I don't know how I'd get it down. Like, I don't know how. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I know what you mean.
How are you going to get it down without scratching your paint? Yeah. Or, like, unless, I mean, I'm assuming.
You have to tilt it on an angle and roll it off.
Assuming it's empty? I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. They wouldn't have a bin after that, for me.
Talk about aggressive, though. Like, I mean, you don't want anyone parking there. I get it. And it's obviously the 50th time it's happened and they've just cracked it. But I would love to know about the aggressive note you got. The aggressive message, whether someone left a note on your car or whether you got something from the neighbours or just the person who goes straight in with the super aggressive message and just goes, I've got something you need to know.
Yeah. There was no warning for this from our neighbours. Like, you'd at least expect maybe just something, just a bit of just a heads up, this is happening or whatnot. Yeah. No. And we came home to find a note on our front door from our neighbours. And you're never going to find it. As soon as I saw a white piece of paper hanging out of my door, I was like,
it's not going to be good.
No, it's not. It's not like, it's not like, hey, mate, just wanted to congratulate you guys on a stunning lawn. It's not going to be any of that sort of stuff. But it was because our dogs were barking too loud and they found it very upsetting.
Sure.
And there was one thing I will always take with me from that note. And it was the fact that they said that we will call the ranger and have your dogs taken away. And will was in capital letters. It was bigger than any other word on the page and it was underlined.
I knew it.
All right. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
And let's not even get on to what the notes that appear at the work fridge.
Yeah.
Although I feel like they're warranted by now.
Mostly. Our genius sound engineer, Padgy, just told me a funny story. He wanted to leave an aggressive note for someone, but the only thing he could find was one of those daily calendars that's got a joke on it. So he had a really like angry message followed by a joke at the bottom.
Perfect. Candace in West Swan, has someone given you an aggressive note?
No, I'll leave it.
Oh, you're the aggressive note leaver.
At school, yes.
Great. What are you doing? What's getting your goat?
Oh, there's a kiss and drop section where you can drive in, drop your kids off and drive out. And it's like four cars wide, so you've got lots of room to get around and things like that. People will go into the middle, park their car, get out, walk their kids in, spend half an hour in class, and you just can't get anywhere. Yeah. It blocks the whole thing for ages. So I will leave in big capital letters, "This is not a car park."
I'm interested because at our school drop-off, there's like, you know, there's teachers with high vis. It's very hard to do anything wrong because you'll get told off.
Sometimes our deputy principal comes out and tells them what to do.
Right, right.
But for the most part, no, it's just too busy.
It's Candace with her note.
A pen and paper, yeah.
Just keeping one in the car. Just make copies. Just print them out, make copies, then you can just always leave one very quickly.
Teresa at Lakelands, this is interesting. What happened at Sculptures by the Sea?
Boy, do I have a story for you guys.
Good.
Yes, I went to the Sculptures by the Sea, and I know when I parked, like, it was absolutely packed.
Mm.
So I was up on the verge, but I was around no other cars when I walked away from my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and viewed all the beautiful sculptures, came back 4 hours later, and there were a number of cars parked around me, and I noticed that my car was unlocked. It was a dodgy car, but I just had that vibe of, holy heck, like something's off.
Mm-hmm.
So when I leaned into my car, there was a note on the steering wheel.
Mm.
And it basically said, "Hey, swear word, like, you know, a few curse words.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Why don't you learn how to drive? You will never know what object I took out of your car and inserted in myself, kind of up the bottom," is the way he said it, a nasty way, "and you will never know what I've inserted in myself and left in the car for you as a way of thanks."
Wow.
It seems that I had double parked, like blocked him in. So he had actually got in my car, moved it slightly, say half a car length.
Right.
And then did whatever and left that thank you note.
Wow.
Teresa, play a game with us. What was in your car at the time?
A deodorant bottle, sunglasses, okay.
Oh my God.
Brush.
I'm really nervous that it was the gear stick.
Soft toy on the dashboard.
Soft toy on the dashboard. Did you say gear stick, Kimber?
I'm worried it was the gear stick.
Or there's a chap that's arrived at ED with a, you know, rear view mirror up his jacket.
And, like, he did rattle me 100%.
Sure.
Yeah, of course, because it's weird.
Like, I disinfected, like, I did it for like weeks afterwards.
Yes.
I sprayed Glen 20. I was drinking that stuff.
It was the cleanest, crappiest car you've ever owned.
His Wikipedia page describes him as one of Australia's most experienced and well-travelled comedians. Doesn't say anything about funny. Lucky he is, which is why we love him. Please welcome friend of the show, Limo.
Oh, clapping himself in again. Guys, I'm in Melbourne. It's another Freedom Day today.
I don't know
how many you're allowed to have.
You didn't take enough the first time.
Well, I think it was just a tiny little bit of freedom last time. But now we've got complete freedom. We can do whatever we want. We can go anywhere with as many people. We can squash into small spaces and not have to worry about it.
Mm.
And so everyone's overjoyed. And I know it's got international traction this Freedom Day because to celebrate, James Blunt and Adele have released albums today. how do you reckon James Blunt felt when he found out that Adele was releasing an album on the same day?
You know what? I think he'd be vocal about it on Twitter. We should check.
Yeah. Check in. I reckon I don't think that's going to work out too well for James Blunt. Now, here's my question. We've come out of lockdown here in Melbourne. My wife, her regrowth was out of control. I learned very early to never mention the regrowth.
Mm-hmm.
She's a bleach blonde with a dark regrowth.
Yes.
I didn't dare ask what her natural hair colour is.
No.
But it was kind of, it got to the point where it was sort of half and half. Half regrowth, half the old bleach blonde. She finally got into the hairdresser yesterday. Now, Kimber, my question for you is, what happens at the hairdresser? Because the reason I ask this question is, I dropped her off at 11 a.m. What time, Pete, Matt, Kimber, all have a guess. What time did I pick her up?
4:30.
3 in the afternoon.
It was 4 o'clock.
Wow.
It was 4 p.m.
Yep, on the money, I know.
It is possibly
the longest waste of a day you could ever have.
Some women really love it.
They love it. They go and they have a whole experience. I love my hairdresser. Charlotte, you're amazing and I adore your company. But, oh my God, I can't think of anything worse than spending 4 hours sitting in a salon waiting for my hair to go blonde. But we have to. That's just how it goes.
I don't know. I tried to get her to explain to me what happens and she couldn't.
No.
I think she could explain to me about 30 minutes worth of activities.
Yes.
But not 5 hours. When she was at home, she had to make sure the laptop was fully charged, her phone was fully charged. She had like the little buds she could put in so she could listen to stuff. I said to her, as a joke, are you going to pack a lunch? And she said, no, there's a cafe over the road. I can go there.
I walked out and got sushi wearing my cape and foils.
Yes, that's what she was wearing, a cape and foils, and went over the road and got her lunch.
I don't think we're meant to know, buddy. I think it's better that that's just left alone.
And Matt, here's the next bit. I pick her up at 4. Mm. I'm going, is everything okay? She said, yeah, fine. I asked, now, I get that this isn't my business and whatever, but I couldn't help myself. I was just curious as to what that might have cost.
Oh, God.
Because I thought, well, 5 hours at a minimum, $50 an hour. There's $250.
Keep going.
Well, she wouldn't tell me. She didn't reveal how much it cost.
Isn't it $22?
That would have got her a nice haircut and a blow dry.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. So then after all of this, she spent 5 hours there, right? She jumps in the car and, of course, and the hair did look great. Her hair looked great. And I said, you look fantastic. I love the hair because I'm not an idiot. You get that out of the way immediately. But then I said to her, but your hair's still kind of long. You normally get it cut. When you have that done, why didn't you get it cut? She said, straight face, completely serious. She looks at me and said, oh, we ran out of time. She was there for 5 hours. I didn't have time to get a cut.
You don't know how much this is hurting me, Limo. I'm like, I feel this like on a primal level. I hate being there for that long.
Well, wow. She's going back next week. God knows for how long.
At least you're not James Blunt, buddy.
By the way,
his tweet today is, I do solemnly swear that if my new album goes to number one, I will never write, record or sing another song for as long as I shall live. So there you go.
I love James Blunt.
He's great.
His social media game is very strong.
Yeah.
Good to catch up with you,
thank
Limo.
Thank you, team.
I have been following this. Okay, so I've been an avid fan of The Bachelor for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Me too.
All right. And it's kind of waned in sort of, you know, the last couple of years. And my interest has waned a little bit.
Be honest. Once they had Sophie Monk, they couldn't get any better. And everything went downhill.
You're right.
Sophie Monk killed the franchise by being too good.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, it's just the same thing.
It's the same thing.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Right. But it's sort of, you know, it's gotten to the stage for me where I tend not to watch it now until like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the first episode and the last episode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, because that's when all the juicy, funny stuff tends to happen. Now, I was watching it last night, and I wanted to play some of this back for a number of reasons. But one in particular is that I now watch a lot of these shows through the eyes of being a father.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see the sit-down couch conversation about their future after the show between Conrad and Brooke, I'm looking at it through the eyes of Mila. You ever bring a head like this home? And I think we're going to have some chats about it. Now, I know what you're going to say, Kimber, right? She's, you know, it's her own life. She's going to bring guys home. I get that. But just to put it into perspective, I've just pulled out some of the best bits of that discussion last night. Yes.
To be fair, Pete, you should be more worried about the ones she doesn't bring home.
Yeah, that's true.
Never mind. Carry on.
Well.
It's like, don't worry about the little girls that put up Orlando Bloom from Pirates of the Caribbean posters on their wall. Worry about the ones that put up Johnny Depp posters.
Filling me with a lot of confidence here, guys. Nah. Thanks, I really appreciate it. Anyway, this was the discussion. This is how it began. And this was Conrad after Brooke had sort of said to him, hey, you know, what does life look like for us after this show?
I just want to know what it would look like.
I did leave my job just before I came to the mansion. Carpentry wasn't really fulfilling me.
I'm just trying to picture what Conrad and Brooke's life looks like. So
Well, I don't think chasing materialistic things is going to give me fulfillment and happiness, right? Yeah. So realistically, you know, after this, if we were together, my main goal is to just, yeah, just find fulfillment.
Left his job. Sounds like he wants to be Insta famous.
She said, where do you think you're going to find fulfillment? And there was this really long pause. She was like, yeah, doing what? And he pause. And he went, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had a bit of time to go. This is the best part. He had a bit of time to go away and have a bit of a think about it. And then he came back and he thought he'd have another go.
I think your future with me would be like, you know, we get up early. We go for runs, or if you wanted to sleep in, I'd have your coffee ready for you because I'm up at 4:35, but I won't wake you. I'll just get your coffee.
Cute.
And then I'd make a good breakfast burrito.
Yum.
And then walk the dogs and kick a footy or just stay in bed if it's rainy because Melbourne gets pretty cold and wet.
So this is on our weekends?
This, like, yeah.
Now, that moment, there's two moments in that, right? There's two moments in that, right? The moment where he goes, okay, where he's clearly thinking on the fly, okay? And the other moment where Brooke says this.
Cute.
At that particular point in time when she's gone.
Cute.
I've gone.
You're gone.
She's off him.
Yeah.
He's done.
He's absolutely done.
You can only eat so many breakfast burritos in a week.
Exactly. But you know what, Conrad? It's not over, mate. You might just have one more shot at it.
For me, it just feels like Conrad's kind of glamorising what our life would be like rather than being, like, realistic.
Look, I don't know what I'm going to do after this, but I'm super goal-driven and I'm super ambitious.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And I think, you know, without sounding cocky and whatever, I feel like I'm going to be super successful.
And Brooke, if that's a glamorous life, getting up for a run and him making a burrito for you, you need to get out more.
Oh, and you know what, Pete? This is the best piece of advice that you can take, really, is that what was great about it is that Brooke set her own boundaries and she was like, I'm not having a life like that. And she got rid of him.
Yeah.
What you got to do to look after your girls is teach your girls self-respect, independence, sort themselves out, and they'll make good choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing. I was initially worried about letting our kids, like Mila in particular, who's five, starting to understand things, watch shows like The Bachelorette. But after that last night, I want to show her that episode to give her an education.
Sure.
Ahoy there, mateys!
Mix 94.5 Masters Regatta.
Just a week away now. Next Saturday, November 27, we take over Hillary's to bring back an icon. The Masters Regatta, the SS Salsiche will sail the high seas. And, of course, we've got 10 teams battling it out to lift that carton at the end of it. It's a free event as well. Plenty of stuff going on the day, so we hope to see you there. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, it's very exciting, and I don't want this next bit to put a dampener on that, Pete, because I am excited. I'm excited for you because I know how important it is to you to bring back this Perth icon.
Thanks, man.
That the regatta is. Appreciate the Masters Regatta. But I do feel like Kimber and I have been roped into this. Like, I was happy to turn up at 10 a.m. on the day and no doubt write a silly song because that's what Matt does. Mm. But this is this boat building. There's all this stuff that you've roped me into. And now I'm looking at it going, why the bloody hell did I let you do this to me?
Look, it's a great question.
I just
feel like we're a team and we all need to share in this experience together. I know it was my idea to do it.
Yeah.
And I know it kind of probably feels like from the entire team that I've sort of thrown the idea out there and gone, hey, let's bring back the Masters Regatta, and then just sort of sat back.
Yeah.
As everybody else sort of does everything.
Yes.
I know it sort of feels that way, but I just wanted you to know I'm thinking about it all the time.
I think as far as I'm concerned, it's what friends do. Like, in order, it's sort of the cost of friendship, you know, because if you want to be friends with someone, then they ask you to do something like, could you help me move house?
Yes.
Or could you do that you kind of go, of course, because that's what you do for a friend.
Mm.
Until the point now where we're getting really close and I'm like, even if we do finish this boat, which, I mean, we've been told we have to, so we could be pulling a very late Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you will be. I'm working.
oh, wow. Isn't that convenient?
I'm worried we're going to get on the boat and just tip to the side. I think that we're just going to roll straight off the side.
No, hang on.
I'm not even worried about sinking. I think we're just going to roll off.
No, I've got a design, like a difference in the design for that I'm going to attach next week. Great. So it's going to stop us from, because I'm a boatie. I've been sailing boats for a long time. Well, not sailing.
Come on, mate.
And they're not even my boats,
just
really.
Just because you scaled a few fish doesn't mean that you're, you know, John Bertrand.
Well, I was hoping it does. I've got a design idea, and that's going to help us not actually tip on the day.
Okay. I mean, so, really what Maddie is getting at, and now I'm on board, is that you have roped us in.
Yeah.
And now we're sort of still having it. We're in it.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it.
We're in it because we love you, and that's a terrible thing to do to us.
That's what good friends do to
you
each other, though.
You have played our love against us.
No, but this is what you guys are, so you're not seeing this, right? You're not seeing my vision for the future. I'm picturing us 5-10 years down the track where we're sort of, you know, like sitting on in Kimber's backyard in her garden, you know, just think, remember that time?
Remember that adventure?
That you
at
roped
sea?
Us into, you know, so years down the track, us reminiscing on this moment.
Like, Pete, remember when Matt drowned at that thing you didn't build a
I'm thinking
good
5 years' time and Kimber's going to me, so you're still not talking to Pete? Tell us the time that your mate roped you into something. You're thinking, how did I end up here?
Jeff in Brabham, what happened?
Guys, I got roped into helping mates move house from Butler to Burswood into an apartment complex on a 40-degree day.
Oh, Jeff.
See, as you said the apartment, I was like, here we go, because you've either got a lift or stairs.
Well, it's not like a 1-2 metre into the front door and off you go, right? You've got like a... There was nowhere to park the truck because it was in that new area of Burswood, like I think it's called Rivervale on that side of the peninsula.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you've got to put the truck somewhere and then you've got to get the stuff out of the truck into like an open foyer, which then goes into an inside foyer, then down to the lift, up the stairs and into the house.
Oh.
And that's when I tell the friend, see you, buddy, I'm out.
And it's 40 degrees, so, you know, it takes more than water to get you through a day like that.
And you also find out you've got a lot more stuff than what you thought you had too when you move house.
You do.
Jackie and Subi, good morning to you. Was it you who roped a mate into something or the other way around?
My friend roped me into something.
What was it?
She roped me into the Avon Descent.
What? Now, was that cool?
Well, yeah, in hindsight, although I'm Sky for Life, so it was 2008 and I was a newbie to Perth, so I had no idea what I was up for. And, we almost died.
Wow. I'm not just casually rope you into the Avon Descent. Like, we're complaining at Pete about making us go to Hillary's and sit on some chock milk cartons.
Yeah, it's in a protected bay. It's flat car.
Oh, come on, Jackie. Let's go down these rapids. They're really dangerous.
Oh, my God. But Jackie, you all came out okay?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was about a week later. So I came out at the Sids Rapids and took about a week for someone to find my kayak stuck up a tree. And it got wrapped around this tree and fell. So, my support crew arrived after waiting for us for an hour and a half at our next stop and found her in the back of an ambulance wrapped in one of those silver sheets.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
Sort of said, where's Jackie? Where's my sister? And she said, she didn't make it.
Oh, God.
But she just meant I didn't make it to that stop.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
I've got images of you two now sitting in the back of an Ambo next Saturday with silver sheets wrapped around you.
Now I feel really silly that we're complaining about just the inlet that is the Hillary's.
Yes. Mitch is in Vic Park. G'day, Mitch. Who roped you into what?
About two and a half years ago, my mates dared me to... the $100 bet that I wouldn't go through with getting a full body wax, which is a full back sack and crack.
Yes, know it well.
Mitch, you're a man of your word, I take it, and you've gone through with it.
Yeah, I went through with it. The following day, we all went off to Adventure World, and trust me, there is no friction on the water slide to try and slow you down.
Oh, you could say you enjoyed the Kraken.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, I like to have a bit of fun with this song, but I'm not going to lie to you. After the events of the COP26, where the leaders of our world got together in Scotland to fix climate change and basically sort of agreed to nothing yet again, I did get quite down.
Yeah.
I do personally believe this is the biggest issue of our time. You know, and I think it's serious and I think we should do something about it. But we seem to find it all a bit too hard. There's, you know, beautiful Greta Thunberg, who's 14, getting up there doing, saying what needs to be said, and I don't know, nothing seems to be changing. But on the upside, Justin Bieber's coming to town. So, and that made me happy. So I thought, well, how do I, you know, put those two conflicting feelings together? And I found a way.
This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny hugging or blah, blah, blah.
You go and get climate changey from all of our industry. I think I just saw the last orangutan falling from a tree. Our leaders, they gather in Scotland and still they cannot agree. Oh, Greta Thunberg's on her way and she's pissed off.
Blah, 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 blah.
Nature provided the minerals we dug up, that much is true. Our planet is choking like we are all token on Winfield Blues. If God was a lawyer, I'd pay by the hour and start to sue. All these people living large, trashing our planet. Is it too late to say we're sorry? Now that we're losing our beach properties. Is it too late now to stop the warming? Not sure if anyone has let you know. If we stop the earth, there's nowhere to go. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Earth.
Really sorry. The ice is melting, but still we love burning that dirty coal. Plastic's fantastic, but ends up stuck in a whale's blowhole. I need a position with zero emissions to save our souls. But I'm running my aircon 24/7. Is it too late to say we're sorry? Now that we're losing our beach properties. Is it too late now to stop the warming? Not sure if anyone has let you know. If we stop the earth, there's nowhere to go.
Humanity, the strangest of species, capable of such beauty, such complexity, and yet the only species we know so far that knowingly destroys its home and is completely unwilling to do anything about it. Humanity, what a bunch of...
Might happen when you're not around. Will your money cool your grandkids down?
Blah, 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 net zero, blah, 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 climate neutral, blah, blah, blah.
It's a real powerful message, man.
There you go.
Nice
real
one.
Powerful message. I feel like you're really feeling that this week.
I'll be back to fart jokes next week.
Nuts, water, record.
Nuts What I Reckon is an Aussie YouTube channel which counts Dave Grohl and Machine Gun Kelly as some of its biggest fans. Please welcome its host, stand-up comedian, mental health advocate, rock musician and social commentator, Nat.
And his book, Death to Jar Sauce, is out now. That's What I Reckon. Nat, g'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, how you doing?
Great. Now, the name of the book alone is just making me have flashbacks to all those jars of salsa I've never been able to open without assistance. It's time to get rid of them.
The jars of salsa?
Yep, all jars.
Well, I mean, it's not, you know, some things in jars are okay, I think.
Peanut butter.
There's a lot that's not.
what do you do these days? I mean, I looked at my shopping trolley the other day and I don't consider myself to be someone that buys a lot of processed food, but I reckon 98% of what I had in there was processed. We're not even trying.
Any chicken nuggets? Any fish fingers?
Oh, yeah, fish fingers are a big one in my house.
Are they?
Hey, Nat, I want to go back to last year when all of this took off for you. You blew up. Were you ready for it when it happened?
I mean... I don't know. No, probably not. I've been working at it for ages. Like I've been pumping videos out for years before then. That kind of was a result of the lockdown and me being like not able to go and make all these other videos of me swanning about trade shows and Area 51 and all sorts of things I'd been doing.
It's yeah.
Like, well, I'll just do what I usually do, which is cook heaps of food and swear heaps. And that's
you do.
Yeah, it just went bananas. Kind of, I'm just, I suppose, a bit lucky, but also had a huge back catalogue of stuff, so there was a reason for people to follow on, and I could see I had other things going on. That's what I reckon.
I mean, is that the irony of the creative life that you spend years and years writing great content and you know putting stuff out there that you think this is bloody Shakespeare, mate, and then it's a bit of a curse on a jar of chicken tonight that breaks through.
Yeah. I'll eat some of that. It's a bit of a strange kick in the guts, but not, you know.
Oh, you take it for sure. Yeah.
That's the way, of course, it's the way it goes. You know, I traveled over to the United States. I've gone to Roswell and gone to all these hilarious, like, alien museums and stuff, and documented me taking the piss out of those and having a laugh over there. And that's quite an adventure.
Mm.
And then I'm in an Airbnb in your minor with a jar sauce, you know.
And that's what cuts
and that
through.
Gets, and that gets of like, you know, 9 million more views than the other thing. It's like far out. Who'd have thought?
Well, you know, it's not accidental that you've had this success. As you say, you've been working at it. But now that you've done it and that it's continuing the way it is, have you bitten off more than you can chew? Like, do you find the work to be quite exhausting? I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, influencers or YouTubers or whatever, they're just posting videos. But it's kind of tiring coming up with that much content, and now that people are waiting for stuff from you, you have to deliver.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's, I mean, I love doing it, but it's an incredible amount of work, and I do it with my partner. Like, it's just the two of us. I do have someone help me shoot stuff with Jules now, but like editing these videos, they're quite intense, and there's a lot of effects and stuff these days. It's a lot of work.
Well, now, all of us hoped that we would use the COVID period to, you know, write the book that apparently everyone's got in them. I certainly didn't do that, but it looks like you used the time very productively.
Yeah, it's that has been interesting, trying to get a book out in the middle of filming and making all these episodes and stuff.
So it's a lot of work, yeah.
It's a lot of work, but it's awesome. It's so awesome.
Bless you, mate.
It looks unreal.
Well, look, we don't have to tell people where to come and find you because you're everywhere. But, of course, the book Death to Jar Sauce is out now. Nat, good to chat to you this morning, mate.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Let me waffle on about myself. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an elite pool cover.